Every project has one. You know what I'm talking about, that loud voice on the sidelines with all of the opinions and none of the ownership. But what happens when you start managing your project to please them instead of leading your team to deliver? That's the moment you step into the validation trap. And I've seen too many, or I should say exceptional, project managers, including myself, that lost their voice right there. You see, it was week 10 of a on-prem to cloud migration with multiple servers, multiple departments, and one stakeholder who always had something to say, but never showed up. He never came to the meetings. He never read the meeting recaps, but somehow, some way, he always found time to complain about the work his team had to do. He would say things like, "My group is overloaded. I don't understand why we're responsible for all of these configurations." But his team had already agreed to those exact deliverables during the planning session. And it was in every single meeting recap that I sent out, which his email address, of course, was included, but failed to read. So instead of defending every decision, I tried something different. See, my mom would always tell me, "Son, you have to pick and choose your battle. You can't fight every battle." So what I did is I pulled his team aside and asked, "Are you letting your manager know that this migration work is something your department already committed to?" They looked at each other. Then one of them said, "He doesn't really read the meeting recaps. We just try to manage it ourselves." That's when it clicked. I was giving energy to someone who wasn't even in the game. Therefore, the next time he questioned the plan, I said calmly, of course, with a smile, "I completely understand your concerns. This work aligns with what your team agreed upon in the scope. If priorities have changed, I'll need that direction documented." Silence. No back and forth. No argument. Just quiet. "Oh, well, okay. We'll stick with the plan that you came up with." You see? The noise stopped. The team got back on track. And that's when I learned that the loudest opinions usually come from the sideline. They talk most because they risk the least. And honestly, it's not just projects. I've made episodes here where people comment or DM me saying, "You're wrong. I'm blocking you." And then I check their profile. No content, no video, nothing. See, I admire opinions. I really do. But bring value, not insult. See, it's easy to critique someone from the stands. It's harder and far more rewarding to actually get on the field and play. See, that experience reminds me that leadership isn't about being the loudest voice. It's about being the most intentional one. When you start filtering out noise, you realize most distractions don't come from bad people. Nah, it's not bad people out there doing that. It come from misplaced energy. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to lead without getting caught in the validation trap. Principle number one, the loudest opinions usually come from the sidelines. I like that, family. See, every project has that one person who talks the loudest but contributes the least. They usually critique your timeline, challenge your scope, and even second guess your process. All without ever showing up to the meetings. As a matter of fact, reading any of the context or content that you have. Why is this important? New project managers often make mistakes because they're looking for value. The risk is spending so much time defending decisions that you stop leading them. Once the loudest voice becomes the project compass, momentum fades and confidence erodes. Experiment with these actionable tips. Weigh feedback by accountability, not enthusiasm. If they're not delivering, they're not deciding. Next one, respond with calm facts, not emotional defense. See, data quiets opinions faster than any explanation you or I can do. Last and final one, invite ownership. Ask critiques to lead the solution. You'll quickly separate contributors from actually people that just want to be commentators. Here's my professional advice. Silence the noise by making ownership visible. The loudest opinions fade when accountability shows up. And I know what you're thinking. That leads us to the next truth. See, real leadership isn't about control. It's really about influence. Principle number two, focus on influence, not control. Project managers don't control people. They guide outcome. Let me say that again, because I'm testifying for myself here, meaning I'm telling on myself, I want to learn to be better at this. See, project managers don't control people. They guide outcome. See, the moment you start trying to control every step, you choke innovation. You kill trust. Influence creates space for accountability. Control creates tension. Honestly, as I was sharing earlier, this is something I've struggled with myself personally. Because, see, you know the right direction the team should be going in, but you don't want to have control. You want to have influence. Why is this important? New PMs often confuse control with leadership. They chase every update, micromanage every task, and wonder why morale plummets. This is why I have to remind myself over and over again. ED, you can't scale control, but you can scale influence. I like that, family. Experiment with these actionable tips. Model calm under pressure. Influence starts with composure when others panic. Next one, lead through context, not commands. When people understand the why, they'll take ownership of the how. I like that, family. Last and final one, empower, then observe. See, step back. Let the team own wins and learn from the misses. Here's my professional advice. Influence multiplies your impact. Control just multiplies your meetings. And influence begins with something deeper. How you view yourself as a leader. Principle number three, you can't outperform a lack of respect. No certification, no title can make up for insecurity. When you don't value your own judgment, you oversplain, you overwork. Matter of fact, you even over-apologize. Confidence is not arrogance. It's the quiet belief that you belong in the room. I'll say that again, especially for my new PMs. Confidence isn't arrogance. It's the quiet belief you belong in the room. Why is this important? New PMs crave reassurance. They want someone to confirm they're doing well. But without self-respect, every critique feels like rejection and every approval becomes a temporary fix. Experiment with these actionable tips. Keep a wins journal. Track your weekly results. It builds evidence for your confidence. And second one, be glass, listen first. It shows authority and it cuts reactionary chatter. And the last and final one, respect your own boundaries. You teach people how to treat you by what you tolerate. Here's my professional advice. Self-respect isn't earned by applause. It's earned every time you trust your preparation over people's perception. And once you learn how to actually respect yourself, you'll stop chasing recognition because you'll realize what truly matters is your vision. Principle number four, if you need to be seen, you'll miss the vision. When your goal shifts from impact to image, you start performing instead of leading. I like that, family. See, visibility feels good until it becomes a distraction. Why is this important? Many new PMs confuse recognition with relevance, but true leadership often happens quietly in one-on-one conversations, behind the scene decisions that shape everything. Experiment with these actionable tips. Measure results, not reaction. Track progress, not praise. Next one, give credit publicly, absorb blame privately. Visibly built on humility earns respect. And the last and final one, stay mission centered. When you serve the goal, the spotlight finds you naturally. Here's my professional advice. You don't need to chase attention when your work commands it. But when you're aligned with your vision, I guarantee you not everyone will see it. And that's where rejection becomes your teacher. Principle number five, rejection is just feedback wrapped up in emotions. I like that. See, rejection hurts because it pokes the ego before it even reaches the brain. But most rejection is impersonal. It's just a perspective. Why is this important? New PMs often internalize rejection. They retreat, question themselves. Or matter of fact, they just overreact or refuse to overcorrect. The best leaders extract the lessons and they just keep it pushing or keep it moving. Experiment with these actionable tips. Ask for clarity, not closure. What does that look like? What didn't align turns pain into progress. Next one, look for patterns. If you keep hearing the same critique, that's a skill gap, not sabotage. And the last and final one, detach identity from outcome. One failed proposal doesn't define your potential. Here's my professional feedback. Feedback and rejection share the same DNA. One just hurts more before it helps. But if you let rejection turn into overcompensation, you'll end up trying to be everyone's superhero. Hence, about number six, stop trying to be the hero in every role. Project managers often mistake leadership for rescue missions. I've been guilty of that. You know what that looks like. They try to fix every issue. That's me. They jump into every fire. That's me. And wonder why they're so exhausted. Well, I guess that's me again. That's not leadership though. That's unsustainable people pleasing. Why is this important? No PMs overfunction to prove they belong, but heroes eventually burn out. Leaders build capacity in others. So experiment with these actionable tips. Let others own outcome. Growth happens when responsibility meets trust. Next point. Say, that's outside of my scope and stand in it confidently. See, boundaries, they'll earn you respect. And the last and final one, coach, don't carry. See, teach people problem solving instead of solving everything yourself. Here's my professional advice. If you're always the hero, your team never learns to save themselves. And what you'll realize is when you finally release that need for approval, you unlock something far more valuable. And that's freedom. Principle number seven, freedom is a reward for letting go of approval. When you stop performing for applause, you start leading from peace. Approval can feel rewarding, but it's also a leash that others can pull. Why is this important, family? See, new PM chase validation because it feels safe, but safety isn't the same as growth. True freedom comes when you trust your preparation more than other people's opinion. Experiment with these actionable tips. Pause before asking for input. Basically, what I'm saying is, are you confirming or avoiding responsibility? Next one, redefine success privately. Set your own scoreboard. And the last and final one, detach from praise and criticism equally. Both can distort your focus. Here's my professional advice. The moment you stop chasing approval, your decisions start carrying conviction. And with conviction, you'll realize you don't need a crowd to confirm what's already common sense. Principle number eight, you don't need a committee to confirm common sense. Sometimes leadership isn't about trusting what you already know. See, overanalyzing and overapproval kills speed. And speed is often the difference between progress and stagnation. Why is this important? New PMs hesitate because they fear making the wrong call, but waiting for every voice to agree guarantees delay and often mediocrity. Experiment with these actual tips. Act fast or low-risk decisions. See, this builds momentum and creates credibility. Next one. You already know what was coming. Document your reasoning. You know the motto here, documentation beats what? Documentation beats conversation. So confidence grows from seeing your own logic in writing. And the last and final one, ask for feedback post-reaction, not pre-action. People learn faster when they can see the results. Here's my professional advice. You don't need to have people tell you that was clearly right. See, clarity is your permission slip. And I'll tell you this, family. Once you start trusting your judgment, not the noise, not the applause, not the crowd, you stop chasing validation and start embodying leadership. That's when you realized the goal was never to please people. It was to deliver on purpose. Here's the truth, family. Have you ever found yourself over-explaining, overworking, or overthinking just to earn someone's approval? Remember this, leadership isn't a popularity contest. It is a consistency test. The goal isn't to please everyone. It's to deliver clarity when everyone else is stuck in confusion. And look, I get it. It's easier to sit on the sidelines, critique, than actually lead. I see it all the time. Even here, people will comment. They will criticize. Maybe they even threaten to block you. Yet, they've never led a project, never created anything, never risked even being visible. But you're different. You're showing up. You're doing the work. And that's what leadership looks like, choosing a growth over validation every single time. So if this message resonated with you, share with another project manager who needs it, or who even thinking about getting in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. And remember, the loudest opinions fade, but real leadership leaves results. If you're serious or you're looking for mentorship and coaching, check the link in the episode, unless you and I get to work. And if you're new to the episode, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.